Voices Radio.
Voices Radio.
Voices
Radio.
Voices.
Voices Radio.
Radio.
Hello, hello, Voices Radio listeners, and welcome back to Pack It Up, Pack It In with your host, Emer Jean. If you're tuning in for the first time, this podcast is all about ignoring those societal pressures in your 30s and taking some time just to figure out what you want. So last year, myself and my partner decided to pack up our lives in London, quit our jobs, and book a one-way ticket to Mexico. So this podcast documents our journeys and gives a very honest account of what it's like to just quit and go and start something new and try something different. It was an amazing experience. And this podcast documented the journey from Mexico City all the way down through the Central Americas down to Colombia. Each episode, we recap the week, talk about what we got up to and what was special about those cities that we visited, and we even throw in a few hints and tips along the way. But overall, the aim was to inspire and encourage people to do the travel that you've said you wanted to do, or just to take a step back from living a hectic London life. As you can tell by my voice, we're back in London, back to work and flat out, back to out and about the whole time. So it's been really nice listening back to these episodes and reflecting on the time we had away and how important that was for us to give us perspective and a new lease of life. On this week's episode, we cover off Oaxaca and Puerto Escondido after spending time in Guadalajara in last month's episode. So at this point, we've made our way from Mexico City, Guanajuato, all the way down to Puerto Vallarta and Sayulita, back up to Guadalajara, and then on to Oaxaca. Oaxaca is honestly incredible. Probably, I want to say, my favorite place in Mexico. It's absolutely full to the brim of culture, color, incredible history, mezcal, Oaxacan cheese. I mean, it has it all. It really does. And we did some amazing excursions and day trips whilst we were there. So you'll get the down low of all of that. We also did Puerto Escondido, which if you're into surfing, stay tuned because that's the town for you. And yeah, we just recap what was a brilliant 1.5 weeks in Mexico. So let's get straight into it. If you're interested and have been listening so far, make sure to follow us on Pack It Up, Pack It In Pod on Instagram. Any questions, any advice you're looking for, drop us an email at packitupackitinpod@gmail.com and enjoy this month's episode. Hello, hello, and welcome to Pack It Up, Pack It In, recording live from bunk beds.
Yes, we are.
One question I've been asked quite a lot since we started traveling is, how are you and Ali getting on? I would say, based on the look of his face when we walked in here and there was bunk beds, not as good as I thought.
Well, look, it's just because it's different, that's all.
He's delighted.
This is...
He walked in and was like, oh my God, amazing, we have our own bed. I was like, is it amazing? I don't want to sleep on the top bunk. Looks like I'll be doing that.
Well, it's because this is proper hosteling, proper hostel life. We've been lucky that so far we've been able to get doubles. And at some stage, we were going to have singles or bunks. I'm not going to lie, I did think I booked a double.
I think he purposely booked bunk beds just to have a night away from me.
Maybe, but also I think it was that's why this cost 4 nights, 1,500 pesos, which is
Sweet
60
deal.
Quid for 4 nights. So 15 quid a night. I think that's probably why.
As you can see from our overall look, we look fucking haggard.
You're absolutely shattered.
We just had a 14-hour bus from Puerto Escondido to San Cristobal. Yeah, we didn't realize the big climate change between Puerto Escondido to San Cristobal. As we were like getting closer and closer, we were getting colder and colder.
The second we stepped out of the bus at 7:30 this morning or 8, whatever it was about 12 degrees. So it wasn't actually that bad. I was still wearing my shorts and t-shirt. But it was a far cry from the 30-odd degrees that we had in Puerto Escondido.
You were relieved because I think the heat was really getting to you.
It was getting to be too much. Well,
you're not a sun baby, are you?
I'm not a sun baby. Like, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the beach. It was really good fun. But the day I got burnt, that kind of really cocked up the last sort of 3 days of Puerto Escondido. So actually getting back into normal temperatures isn't too bad for me.
It's pure delight for you. Yeah, you were on the kind of crankier side of life with the heat.
Yeah, I was, but you know, as long as I had some beer and water in me, I was fine.
To be fair, neither of us really take to the sun as much as we'd like to. So for both of us, it has been a bit of a sigh of relief that we have a bit of respite from all that heat.
Agreed. And also, we don't really take too kindly to 14-hour bus journeys either.
Oh, Jesus. But honestly, it has to be the worst part of it. Just the, ironically, the worst part of traveling is traveling.
Who would have thought that, right?
It's just pure torture. But the 14-hour trips, just like, there's basically cancel a night of sleep.
Cancel a night of sleep, but then on the traveling side of it, or the backpacker side of it, we're saving a night in a hostel. So we're getting somewhere and we're not paying for accommodation, we're paying out on a bus, so it swings and roundabouts with it, really.
The roundabout is bumpy.
Compared to last week's bus, which was I think about 9 or 10 hours, this one, which was 12, 13, 14, I can't remember how many, it all blurred in, this one was actually much better. Flew by.
I think so too. Also, last week's bus, Ali liked to toy with my emotions and heightened sense of fear. We pulled into a bus stop at about 2 a.m. and Ali's like, "That's really strange that we're pulling in. There's no one getting off." And I was like, "Oh, fine." I was actually just about to fall asleep, but enlighten me.
And he was like, rumbling downstairs.
There's rumbling. He's like, what if it's like people stealing from us? Because you know the way there's all these like stories about like if you travel in Mexico, you know, people can pull you over and then rob all your goods.
People go missing.
So there's me. Oh yeah, also, one of the least reassuring things is when you do get on these night buses, a bloke comes around and just video records everyone's face. Just in case.
Just in case anything happens.
Just in case.
So they know who's missing.
I was like,
no dental records, but we've got a picture of you.
Here's me fearing the life of like an airplane. And, you know, everyone knows when you're on an airplane, you go to standard safety procedures. They're like, everything's chill. No. On a 14-hour bus in Mexico, they're taking a video just in case you get captured and held hostage. It doesn't make any sense.
I would say at least you're safe. Although the bus journey earlier on tonight, or this morning even, I think it was probably about, well, if we got on it at 6:30 and people started drifting off, and it must have been maybe about 11 a.m, maybe midnight. And as we were going along a kind of hilly bit, the emergency exit roof just basically blew open. And me and the guy sort of opposite, I kind of got up and was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Ali so was in like activate dad mode.
I was like, for God's sake. So I kind of closed it, yanked it down, and it closed. And then literally 10 seconds later, opened again. So then I was up again. Did it. And then a minute later, the guy opposite me had to do it. And I think we were both looking at each other going, for fuck's sake, we've got to literally get up and hold this for 8 hours. Are we doing shift work? But it was so funny.
And you were frozen. Funny. God love you. I popped a little sleeping tablet and I found the journey a lot more calming than last week. So all in all, very good for us. So as we like to do every week, we're doing listener feedback. And we received an email this week from Katie MacArthur, who says, "Hola, Ali and Shipman.
Hola.
Thoroughly enjoying the podcast. We've been listening to the latest episode on our drive down to Devon. Made a 4.5-hour journey fly by."
4.5 hours, is that it?
"Sounds like you're having a fab time. Charlie says, got to hear about Shipman's clothes.
Oh, God.
But he has been in desperate need of a new wardrobe 4 years.
Right.
Two things. Ali's friends from school call him Shipman. Total different story for a different day. Second thing is, Charlie, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm the reason, if Ali ever looks good in anything, it's because I've bought it for him. And now,
yeah, that's true.
And, you know, I'm getting a lot of comedy out of what's happened, because I don't know if you'll remember, if you go back to episode one, when I was packing for Mexico, I was doing my little Penny's hauls, I was getting ready. Ali was giving me pure stick, saying that I was overpacking, overthinking it. And now all his clothes are shrunk to shivereens. And he's going around looking like Mr. Muscle, because he looks like one of those guys who like buys clothes too small for him, so his muscles look bigger.
Like Johnny Bravo.
And because in comparison to Mexican people, he's abnormally tall. He just stands out like a sore thumb, and I find it very funny.
Yeah, it's been a complete shocker. From when they all shrunk a couple of weeks ago, the second that we dropped off these clothes in Puerto Escondido, I just had the fear. Like, the smell of the laundrette was coming. We literally came at us before we even walked around the corner. And when you just get closer and closer, it just gets warmer and warmer.
It's because they've got the washing machines, but then they bang all of the clothes into the, like,
100 degrees or something stupid.
Speed tumble dryer.
So it was, as soon as we handed them over, I think I just looked at Ema and went, well, these are going to be shrunk.
And all his boxers are like little teeny tiny. He looks like he's wearing
hot pants. Honestly, it was awful. So as we handed it over, feared for the worst. But then, to be fair, when we got them back, they hadn't shrunk as bad. I mean, to be fair, they couldn't get any smaller. But yeah, I had to buy then a couple of T-shirts. Well, in Guadalajara, I had to buy a couple of T-shirts and a couple of new shirts as well.
He did buy a few nice shirts from a Mexican designer. Different to his usual style, I'll say.
Yeah, because they're good.
Yeah, but they're also like definitely like holiday mode vibes.
Yeah.
And one of the shirts kind of loose and slinky, a little bit like silky vibes, red shirt. And when we put a video up on Instagram the other day, one of our friends gave the biggest and the best call out that he looked like Charlie Sheen from 2 and a Half Men.
Winning.
Honestly, I've never heard of a more accurate description. Yeah, spot on. Oh, well done.
And the thing is, I had to wear it for 3 days in a row just because my sunburn on the tops of my shoulders, the top of my back and the back of my arms was so bad. I needed something that was really loose. Weirdly, I managed to get burnt on the bridges of my foot and then the top of my thighs as well. So yeah. When I was wearing shorts, I had to wear my Bjorn running shorts because they're nice and loose, because obviously the other ones got shrunk. So yeah, that was a bit of a tough time last week.
Bit of a disastrous week for poor Al.
It wasn't the best.
Very tetchy.
But Leroy and Katie, thank you very much for the email. To everyone else, we know we're obviously inundated with emails here. So if you want yours top of the pile, get a snappy title in there and send them to packitinpod@gmail.com.
Another bit of feedback we got from last week, and I'm very happy someone acknowledged this. Obviously, Ali has his weekly local hero segment where he gives a very informative breakdown of the best food, drink, phrases that we've learned. But people want to hear more about what I'm thinking and what I'm seeing. And
give
I just thought
what they want.
Basically, Ali got called out for hogging the mic last week. And I thought, you know what? I couldn't have said this, because currently you're hogging the bed, you're hogging the booze, you're hogging my personal space. So,
well, that's why we've got bunk beds this week.
I couldn't have called that out, but someone did, which means I've introduced my very own segment, which is called Emer's Observations.
Emer's Observations?
Yeah, so basically
it's got to be a little bit slicker than that, I think.
Emer's Eyes.
Emer's Eyes.
Okay.
Emer's Eyes.
Yeah, this section is all about just like random things I've picked up whilst we've been traveling around and just kind of people watching. We have been doing a lot of walking tours, and there's a lot of Americans that travel to Mexico because it's so close. And what I've noticed is when we do like a little intro about like who you are and where you're from, Americans never just say, oh, I'm from America or I'm from the States. They always have to say the state. So it's like, I'm Brandon from Buffalo, New York. I'm Karen from Michigan. And you're like, why don't you just say America? Why don't you just say United States?
That is a good point. All the walking tours we've done, people have said that.
Haven't they?
Yeah.
So that's just a bit of an observation.
Whereas like other people, yeah, it's like other people that we've been on, will say, well, we'll say, oh, we're from the UK.
Or, everybody gotta say UK.
You'll say, obviously, I'm from Ireland, but then yeah, other people have been, oh, I'm German, I'm Australian, I'm French, but yeah. I'm Brandon from Buffalo.
It'd be like you being like, I'm Ellie from
Warwick. And they'd be like, where the fuck's Warwick?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody cares.
Exactly.
Hey. So that's one observation. Also, another observation when we're on the American point is that sometimes when you're talking to like older American men, when they're talking about like someone they found attractive, they're like, oh, the waitresses were so cute. And you're just like, oh.
In the bin.
Why don't you just say they're good looking?
Yeah, say they're good looking or they're hot. There is something about... Yeah,
again. The word cute.
Oh, that's so cute. And an older guy saying it as well.
So that's
spot on. That is such a good observation.
Sounds like you're being so sarky.
No, I'm not. I'm not at all. That is genuinely so true.
Another observation is with every city we go to when we arrive, because we're obviously moving around so much, we haven't planned everything. So when we arrive to a new city, we'll always look at what's the best things to do. And in every single blog that you read, after maybe two or three, they'll say, walk down this street, which is like a pedestrian street. And you're like, that can't be classified as a thing to do. I'm like, that's going to take me 10 minutes to do. I should fill this for 4 days. Like, what's that even mean? Walk down, do people Google things to do in London and just on the number three is... walk down Oxford Street, soak in the buzz.
It could be.
Bit of a faffy statement, but
it's a shite one.
In every single city we've gone to, that's one of like, after number three or four, walk down said street, get a coffee and watch the day go by. I'm like, fuck, there's nothing else to do around here.
There's nothing else to do.
So that's another observation. And then, oh yeah, so... in every city we go to, there's a different artisanal market, which is great. We always get food there as well, which is lovely. The local cuisine.
Local foods in there.
But it seems like there's hundreds of stalls selling the exact same thing.
Mm.
And you just think, how does anyone make any money?
Like they're all literally exactly the same.
Identical. Like the clothes are a bit shite.
Yeah, it's all the little textile. Well, some of them are all the textile things. And then the other ones are the people selling food as well. So they might have little baked goods and other stuff, or like those honey nut bars and things like that. Like they're literally all selling the exact same thing.
Yeah. So how does one choose which shop to go to?
And they're all making a living off it as well, aren't they, somehow?
I don't know how. That's an observation.
That is an observation. We'll have to ask questions next time we're in.
That's my top three observations for this week. Don't worry. I'll get deep into it now next week, now that I've got this new segment idea.
The new segment.
Ready. So that's it for Emer's observations.
Bum, bum, bum.
So last week we started off in Oaxaca City, which was genuinely the most beautiful place on the planet, I would say.
So pretty, so pretty.
Every single street was so colourful. There was such a nice vibe about the place. It's the culinary hotspot of Mexico. So it was just the best food, the best vibe, the best people we've met so far.
Yeah.
And yeah, we did quite a few excursions. We did a walk and tour on the first day, which was really insightful because they gave us a lot of insight into the political corruption and all the kind of juicy stuff that everyone wants to know.
He did just sound like he was a student against the government. I did feel like half of that tour was, fuck the government, man.
Yeah, he was quite an activist, but... come here, we learned quite a bit.
We did learn quite a bit.
And Oaxacans are rebels, I'll tell you that for free.
They are. They're very, they are Oaxacans, aren't they? They're not Mexicans. It's kind of similar to, in the UK, some Cornish people think they're Cornish, they're not British. It's like, well, you can keep your pasties and your scones with cream and then jam on. You're British, not Cornish. The same with these guys, is they're like, we're Oaxacans. It's like, no, you're Mexicans, lads, come on.
I hope we have no Cornish listeners. But yeah, they're very proud of their town, and they actually even managed to march a McDonald's out of the place.
Yeah.
Because it's a city protected by UNESCO.
Mm-hmm.
So they can set standards and rules that every other new business has to apply to or has to abide by. And McDonald's didn't abide by it. So they gave the big fuck you to the Golden Arches.
They marched on them, didn't they?
They marched on them. They were throwing out tamales saying, don't buy McDonald's, eat a tamale.
Eat a tamale.
And the people listened and McDonald's closed down.
They did, they did. And also the actual colours on the walls and everything like that were down to some dude who looks exactly like Marcus Waring.
Oh my God, he's like, the image.
On the tour, the guy pointed to this fella and was like, ah, oh, this is the man. He's behind all the marches in Oaxaca. So Oaxacans are known for like marches and demonstrations. He was like, ah, oh, this is the guy behind the McDonald's one. And we kind of looked up and were like, is that Marcus Waring?
He's the image of him.
Absolute spit.
He was just like this rich, he was rich, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Rich guy who just basically donated like gaffs to people in the area. Mm. He was an artiste, so he came up with all the colour scheme. Oaxaca has only actually been like this big, gorgeous, colourful town since, I think, 2016.
Yeah.
So we learned.
It's not been that long at all.
It was an amazing tour, great excursion. And then the second tour was to the Petrified Lakes.
Yeah, it was El Hierve de Agua. It was fantastic.
What was your favourite bit?
Well, there was a few bits thrown in. So we paid, 35 quid each. So it was like 70 quid, which was fine. I'm normally anti-tours because I think you can just do things yourself. But this one we needed to because to get there would have been a pain in the arse on public transport. And Oaxaca doesn't have Uber, which, bit of a problem, especially when you don't really know the local lingo and all the rest of it with the taxis. This tour was great. It was a bit with the indigenous people and seeing them kind of weave rugs and things like that. And
that was amazing.
You
that was
one?
A real hard. Yeah, I just, because the kids learn how to make this tapestry from when they're five. So this lovely man was showing us how he does this amazing art tapestry. And then he brought his kids out and they were showing us how they did it. And Axel was his little son. And Axel was showing us his work. And I was like, we have to buy something.
Apparently took him 2 weeks to make these rugs.
Ali was so cynical about the whole thing.
Yeah, completely understandably cynical.
Understandably in what way?
So it's part of a tour. We're there. We were there for half an hour. And as we were there, 15 minutes in, another tour was there. Then another one arrived. Then another one arrived. So this guy obviously wheels out his kids to get on these machines to kind of make these rugs and like weave them and things like that. So, and no wonder they take 2 weeks if they've got, no, if he wheels them out for 10 minutes just to do a little bit.
Oh my
and then
God.
Send them away again.
This is total lies. I'm going to post a video to Instagram showing you how Axel and his little sister make the tapestry. It's a very skilled operation. Ali cynical and not happy because we spent £200 on a rug that I will keep forever.
It will be good. And in the spare room, it will be very, it will make that spare room. Of course
exactly.
It will do.
So less cynicism.
Okay.
More positivity.
So that was one little part of it. They took us in like a little candle factory almost. So apparently in these little bits of Oaxaca, when someone proposes, you essentially kidnap your fiancée-to-be and then her parents get really pissed off. And then as a peace offering, you've then got to essentially hand them a massive totem pole with loads of candles, 100 candles, 100 baked goods, 100 bits of fruit and 100 something else. Which it all sounds quite bizarre.
It's funny because we actually haven't discussed the kidnapping part. He was like, yes, and there'd normally be, the dad might be a bit like, a bit pissed off. I'm like,
where's he from? Eastern Europe.
But it kind of reminded me of grabbing. Do you remember like that gypsy tradition?
Yeah.
I was like, that's not right. But anyways.
Black and grabbers.
It seems like no matter what, even if you don't like the person who's taking your daughter and now is going to be her husband, you have to accept it. Once you get the candles, it's like game over.
And the 100 bits of
everything. Take the offering.
So that was quite.
Or lose your daughter forever.
That was quite eye-opening, insightful.
Yeah.
Another part of it, we went to a little mezcal distillery that's only been open a couple of years. And we drank a load of mezcal there, which is really good fun. The vast majority of mezcal is made in Oaxaca, which is great. And we were smashing a fair bit of mezcal throughout the week.
You particularly.
But the most important and the best bit of the tour was the El Hierve de Agua, which were the petrified waterfalls, weren't they?
Oh my God, it was stunning, wasn't it? There's
so
only
beautiful.
Two in the world. So I felt quite privileged to have gone and visited. And then we swam in the hot springs at the top. And I was like, this is incredible. Filled with like, it's in a, like a limestone enclave, do you call it?
Yes, yeah, something like that.
So I just felt super zen.
super zen. And I think it's probably one of the most beautiful things I've seen as well. So it was definitely worth
aside
it.
Aside from you.
Aside from you. Well, seeing you whilst we were there was obviously the best thing I've ever seen, of course. But it was absolutely incredible. So that was definitely the highlight of when we went to Oaxaca. But like I said, we had loads of different food there. So Oaxaca is also known for mole. So mole is essentially, apparently it's Mexico's national dish, but essentially Oaxaca has seven different kinds of mole. So mole is essentially the sauce.
Sick mole.
Well, this is it. It's essentially the sauce. So you'll have like chicken, rice and beans. But then apparently the difference between mole and a salsa is mole is the dish, whereas salsa just adds something a little bit extra to it. So there are all these seven different kinds of them. And
you really paid attention.
Well, it's just because it was exactly the same thing, but just a different colour. that was literally
like,
it.
It's just all very mushy.
So we kind of tried them, but we also were smashing a fair bit of mezcal as well. As I said, we were going to a few different bars, which was brilliant. We're kind of going during the day in between tours and in between walking to the markets and stuff. I'll be back on my Mexican Boilermakers, although my Oaxacan Boilermakers with my little beer and the mezcal. But the best thing was we were in this one bar, I think it was like called Casa de Mezcal or something like that. And I'd literally, we'd gone in there for, you'd had some mezcal cocktail. I'd had my mezcal Boilermaker.
Oh yeah.
And then I went to the loo.
It was like an Irish pub, like really dark and kind of cold, but it had a bit of a
great crack.
Had a bit of a vibe about it.
And I'd just gone to the toilet and then I'd come back. And then you just looked at me with this worried face and both of your hands behind your back.
Yeah, so basically we were 5 minutes away from our walking tour and we're like, right, we'll get up and leave. But we had just come off a 12-hour bus. It was fucking roasting hot. And I was like, I need to change my top. I've just been in the same clothes for 12 hours. So I took this like kind of cropped bikini top
that
almost.
That crop top you've got on is nice.
So I had that on me. And then as I got up, whatever way I like got up from the chair, it like unhooked my basically like a bra and I had no top. And I was like, oh my God, I was trying to tie it with my bobbin. There was people staring at me. I basically just like I was topless nearly in this bar. And then Ali's like, come on, we need to go to the walking tour. I'm like, what can I do here?
Honestly, it was so fun. That,
we had to go to this shitty shop and I had to buy this like minging yellow top that said, have a fab day or have a fabulous day. And I was like, everyone at this walking tour thinks I'm a dweeb.
Now, that was probably my favourite bar, although it was almost my favourite bar, but we just didn't see what everyone wanted to see. But that was absolutely hilarious. So fair play to you on that one. But yeah, Oaxaca in general was just really good fun.
Yeah,
so
if you've only got a short amount of time in Mexico, hit up and make sure to have Oaxaca on your list.
And then the second place we went was completely different. So it was down on the coast called Puerto Escondido. So this was similar vibes to Sayulita, which we were a couple of weeks ago. But this was much bigger, much bigger, actually. There were like three parts to the place, which we didn't even realize. We just thought there was one. There were three parts to it. But it was very much like surfing, which we don't do, massive waves, and like proper backpacker-ish kind of vibes to it as well. So it was actually really good fun. And you know what? Having a week's worth of chill there whilst doing loads of walking on the beach. We did swim in the sea as well.
Oh,
so I got sunburned to shit.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely incredible.
It was. And I think it was very chill, hippie vibe.
Mm.
Everyone there looked like the picture of health as well. Obviously, as we mentioned, Ali and I do not take to the sun. So I'd say we stood out in comparison to all these like glowing, gorgeous people. One of the days we did a HIIT class and the instructor, I'm not joking you, is probably one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my whole entire life.
Solid nine.
She walks in and I was like, oh, Ali was the only guy in the class as well. So literally he perked right up.
I was literally at the back of the class almost like a pervert, wasn't I?
Yeah, well, you are a pervert.
Brilliant.
But yeah, she was absolutely stunning. And Ali was keen to do another HIIT class after that one.
Yeah.
But then he couldn't because his sunburn was too sore.
And thankfully, she didn't do the class on the Thursday. She was on Tuesdays.
Another hot guy did. So
yeah. I got for everyone.
I got to enjoy that.
For the in Puerto Escondido as well, we actually managed to make some friends.
We did.
Who are a lovely English couple who have been over in Australia for a few years, and they have quit their jobs and they're traveling around for a year, so they're doubling what we're doing. Tom and Faye, we met them, which was awesome. So we've seen them a fair bit, to be honest. And
yeah, they're our pals, our travel companions.
Travel pals, similar age, which is great. And one of the best things that we did in Puerto Escondido, well, I think it's one of the best things we did. You might not do because of the because it was a traumatic experience.
It's a sore topic for me.
Was the sea turtle releasing? So they do this apparently every day, which we hadn't realised. And the guys had texted us, said, "Oh, we're going to do this. Do you want to come along?" And we were like, "Yeah, go on then. Why not?" And it was awesome. Like we went to this little sanctuary bit. We had to wait a while in the sun, obviously, because you had to register and whatnot. And then they give you these little coconut shells, and they give you these lovely little sea turtles.
Baby turtles.
And you're probably about, I don't know, 10 meters away from the sea. You're kind of marked out. And then the idea is you've got to sort of usher them from your coconut shell and let them walk down to the river. So my guy was really tiny. So I called him Harvey Elliott after the Harvey Elliott who plays for Liverpool, because he's a small little fella. He was going around in circles in my little coconut shell for ages.
Yeah, we did think he was like the little runt. But then,
yeah, he was.
But then when he got out, he was flying down to the sea. My guy was faster to get out of his shell, but the waves weren't really pulling him into the sea. He had like three opportunities to go. And then out of nowhere, next thing you know, a seagull comes down, swarms down, takes my little sea turtle. And honestly, I felt like I just lost a little kid.
It was incredibly traumatic.
It was traumatic. Like a little baby sea turtle who I was helping guide down to the sea just got... I hate seagulls.
This has made you...
I hate seagulls. I'd happily watch... Well, I didn't happily watch that TikTok you showed me of that seagull getting killed by a seal. But they're just not nice animals. They're really awful, awful little...
Wee little bastards, aren't they?
Shitheads.
So that did put a dampener on the day.
It did.
But it was an amazing thing to do. I mean, it's such a touristy backpacking thing to do. But you know what? It was pretty cool.
So it was.
That was quite nice. And we kind of fell in with the Puerto Escondido crowd.
A lot of people on the same vibe. And we stayed for the first couple of nights in this like stoner hostel, which was actually really cool and flaked, and people were lovely. But after we moved to La Punta, and La Punta is where you should be staying.
Lit to the tit.
And we made loads of friends. We have to give Rob a shout out too.
Oh yeah, so Rob was a friend of Faye's who randomly just bumped into when he was surfing. He's only over here for 2 weeks. So we met a really good friend of Rob. He's a great laugh. And then there are two Kiwi lads as well who we met, Josh and Tom. So yeah, we've actually made pals with people our own age, which is great. And this is what backpacking is. We finally done it. We finally made it, baby.
Yeah, although I will say the hangover after the first night out with them, I haven't missed hangovers. I really haven't. And I get too giddy and too excited with new people. So I'm going to retreat back to Zen, a couple of bottles of beer a day life.
So the hostels, so very quickly, as we do last week, we're always rating the hostels. So in Oaxaca, we had stayed at one hostel, which we'd already rated, and the second one was El Cielo. What were your quick thoughts on this one?
Quick thought on El Cielo was, it was full of young backpackers. So like, I wasn't arsed most of the crack there. It was noisy. The toilets and the shower bit were basically like...
Oh, they were pretty shit.
They're basically in the same room. I thought it was all right. I slept in it, which is a plus.
That's the main thing, isn't it?
So I'd say an 8 out of 10, which is a high score. But honestly, that just shows you the standard of shitholes there are over here.
So this was the hostel last week that, yeah, at 8 in the morning or 7:30, I went out in my boxes to go and shout at 9 German kids. So yeah, they had literally got in at about 5 from a night bus, and they just kept on piping up. And they were so loud. And then it got to about 7:30 and I was like, fuck this. That was quite funny. But yeah, it was full of young people, wasn't it? So,
And then in Puerto Escondido, we stayed in two separate places. Mm. So the first one was that stoner hostel.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Residencia Artistica.
Yeah. And I liked that, even though it wasn't really a me vibe. The people were nice. They were kind of older. They were chill. They were kind of like living there.
Yeah.
More so than backpacking.
Yeah.
And it was quiet. And honestly, that's all I care about now.
Yeah.
A room that's quiet enough for me to sleep. That's how low my standards have gone.
It was quiet as hell, but we were lucky because the road outside was closed because they were putting the speed bumps in, as you said earlier on. But the only problem with that was that the aircon didn't work. Well, no, sorry, they didn't have any aircon. The big fan up on the ceiling didn't work. So they gave us a small fan, which was on 24/7 when we stayed there, which had we not have had that, this could have been like a two. But it wasn't. Yeah. So what would you rate that one?
I would give that one a 9.
A 9? Bloody hell.
I know. My standards, as I said, have dropped.
Well, if that's the first was an 8 in Oaxaca, this one's a 9. Then the second place we stayed in Puerto Escondido.
10 out of 10.
Via Castellet or Villa Castellet.
It wasn't a hostel, so then therefore it gets a 10. It
wasn't a hostel. Great big bed. Lovely pool in there as well. The pool was great. Like, I'd say that was what made it a 10.
Yep, easy.
So there we go. Good hotels, good hostels. Bish, bash, bosh.
And now your favourite time of the week.
Oh, this is the bit that everyone has been looking forward to. Do you know what it is? Sounds so much better with the music than when we do it, doesn't it?
I think it sounds totally different from when we do it. And I think I thought the tune was totally different.
It was, but thankfully six weeks in and we've got it. So yeah, it's Local Hero. So this week was very much more Mexican rather than international as it was last week. So we will start with the food. So there are a few places that were really fantastic. There's one which was actually anti-Local Hero, which was the Sal de Mar, which was some place in Puerto Escondido that we went to one evening, which was just fish tacos.
Oh my God, it was awful.
It was shite.
Actually, me and Ali got in a tiff at it because Ali was wondering why my mood was so off. One, because the food was absolutely rotten. But then this guy came in who was basically drinking petrol and sniffing a tissue with petrol, and he was asking for cerveza, cerveza. And I was like, why is no one telling him to fuck off? And Ali turned to me and was like, yeah, your humor's so off. I'm like, yeah, I know. I can acknowledge that. Like, if I'm like, oh, you're in a bit of off mood, you're like, no, I'm not. I'm like, no, I am in an off mood. The food is terrible. And there's a man sniffing.
The local nut job.
Gas in here.
Yeah, so, he almost, you know, the fire eaters when they like drink petrol and then spit it out, and it was just drinking petrol. But to be fair, we had some really good places to eat last week. We had El Sultan, which was the Lebanese place in Puerto Escondido. That was great. We went there for dinner once and we went for lunch another day. Weirdly, when we were in Oaxaca, so we actually met your mate Neil. His brother was randomly in Oaxaca. You just saw the back of his head and text Neil and just said, oh, mate, is your brother here? And he didn't have a clue where he was. And yeah, it ended up to be him. So we watched the Super Bowl with him. But that was Cantina Fatty. And we had some unbelievable wings there. I think it was like 10 quid for 12 wings. It was absolutely incredible. But no, the best food that we had was in Oaxaca City. It was after we'd done the big tour with the petrified waterfalls. And we just went to a little place that literally around the corner from the hostel. And it was a little tapas place called Tastavins. And it was absolutely incredible. They kept bringing out bruschetta after bruschetta after bruschetta, which we only ordered one plate of bruschettas and they bought loads. Another little tapas bit. We had some beers, wine, mezcal and everything. And it came up to be 613 pesos, which is, it's around about 30 quid.
So good.
Less than 30 quid. So it was absolutely incredible. The food was delicious. Would highly recommend it. And we were sat at the bar as well. It's been a long time since we've been like sat at the bar having tapas. But that was incredible. So fair play to them. Drinking wise, there's been lots of mezcal this week, hasn't there?
A lot
of mezcal in Oaxaca. Lots of beers and mezcal. Lots of Mexican Boilermakers So that's been great. There've been loads of cold beers by the beach as well. So that's been incredible. But there were two. So there was this place in Mexico, in Oaxaca City, called Cantina La Familia. And you and I, again, were sat by the bar. It's like our favorite place, isn't it?
Sat by the bar.
Just drinking beers.
Interacting with the staff. And having a bit of crack.
And then you got chatted up by an old dude.
He was just trying to dance with me. So I wanted to make his night and I went dancing with him.
You went dancing. It was a lovely little live band.
He was cute.
So that was incredible. But to be honest, the best thing that we have drunk was in Puerto Escondido, which was mezcalitas.
Oh.
And it was in this Peruvian place that we went for dinner, wasn't it?
10 out of 10.
That was a night that you had a couple. Everyone had a few too many.
Oh, hangover from that was not good.
You stuck on the mezcalitas. I had one. You had about four of them.
My head was pounding the whole next day. I hated it.
But worth it because they were bloody delicious.
They were very tasty.
And then we talk about the phrase. So this week's phrase isn't really a phrase. It's a song.
It's not a phrase at all.
It's not a phrase. And it's a song. So when we were on the little mezcal waterfall tour, a little tour guide called Pavel, who was an absolute legend, to make the time go quicker, he thought, just put on a load of Mexican songs. And obviously, none of us had ever heard of any of them. We actually gave him a couple of songs. We made him put on Irish Rover, which he loved. but there's this song here, which is called Mezcalito by Lilla Down. So here we go. So it's an absolute banger. We just fell in love with that kind of song and we've just been singing it ever since.
I just love the Mexican music. It's so vibey.
It's just so happy. It just makes you want to get up and dance, doesn't it?
Na 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 na.
Na 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 na. So yeah, so for this week, that is our local hero. So fair play to all those people involved. Great recommendations. So that is local hero.
And that is everything for this week. Covering Oaxaca City and Puerto Escondido. Get them on your list if you're going to Mexico. As always, keep an eye on us on Instagram at Pack It Up, Pack It In Pod.
Whoop, whoop.
And yeah, Ali always loves an email. So throw us an email.
Throw us that email.
With any of your questions. But for now, we are about to head out. After being up for 24 hours, we're going to do a walking tour of all things.
Woohoo!
So next week, you'll look forward to a breakdown of San Cristobal. But that is it for now.
Adios, amigos.
Oh, what a few weeks in the state of Oaxaca, Oaxaca City and Puerto Escondido. I honestly think that might have been up there with my best part of Mexico. What do you think, Ali Mather?
Yeah, you know what? I think after, as the other episodes have been, you know, we had the two-week holiday, basically. And then last week was the coming back to reality. And I think we kind of eased into it. I think we needed a kind of a week where it was a bit kind of rough and ready, which last week's episode was. Whereas this week, we kind of got back into the swing of it. So we almost sort of was just riding the wave, and then now it was kind of fine.
I feel like we learned the most in Oaxaca. I feel like we did so many excursions. We really did a lot of cultural activities in Oaxaca. And also a city of just great historic importance.
It was, but I think it was because in Guadalajara, it was very much a big city vibe, which I actually really liked. And then we went to Tequila, whereas I completely agree with you. This week was a little bit smaller. Smaller is probably the wrong word.
No, not it was smaller. A week. I think it was
the
more...
The places we went were a little bit smaller. Like, as you say, Oaxaca, there's more, so much more to it, so much more history. And even recent history as well, like some really bad recent history, as our tour guide said. But it was just very beautiful, very different. We did a lot more excursions, as you say. And then when we went down to Puerto Escondido, that was a totally different vibe. That wasn't my vibe. My vibe was much more Oaxaca. You really liked the Puerto Escondido-y vibe.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The Stoner Hotel, hostel and all that surfer nonsense.
I think if you're interested in going to Bali, you'd want to go to Puerto Escondido.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely.
You know, it's that kind of surfer town, big waves if you're into surfing. Mm. And the food places are all like vegan, you know, it's very Bali, I would say.
Even
very
though I've Bali, ever, Bali, you know, Ali.
I've never been to Bali, but I'm just assuming.
You're assuming it's like that.
Now, Oaxaca, I will say, I found it quite unfiltered as opposed to the rest of Mexico, because when we've done day trips or walking tours in other cities around Mexico, you know, okay, there's more like political history here, but no one's going to tap into it because it's frowned upon to talk about shit like that. Mm. Whereas with Oaxaca, I felt like they were like, no, we're Oaxacan people. We're going to tell you how it is and what's happening and how corrupt this country is. And for a tourist to learn that, like, in detail, I found it fascinating.
I think as well, it's down to the age of the tour guides.
So yeah.
I think the older ones were probably... It's odd because, over here, you'd expect the older tour guides to be a little bit funnier because they're probably a little bit more miserable and they're more likely to tell a story. Whereas over in Mexico, and certainly further on within our travels that hopefully you will be able to listen to, the younger tour guides were the ones that actually were wanting change. So they 100%. Wanted people to understand more about what is actually happening. And certainly the little lad in that did the tour in Oaxaca went into a bit of detail about that shooting of the...
kidnapping.
Yeah,
the kidnapping actually,
and shooting. It's really interesting.
Would you believe when we got back... Only about a month ago, they now have a documentary on Netflix about the kidnapping.
Do they? That's quite interesting.
I think we started watching it.
No, well, I have to go back and watch it again.
I'll try to get the name of it. Because
that was really interesting when he was telling us about it, because we obviously didn't have any idea.
Yeah, terrifying. Basically, the story is a bus from... There was a protest going on in one of the big universities, a bit of a... revolt against the state. But because like the state, the government, all that is all interlinked, the bus went missing and they captured like, I think it was like 40 students. And I don't believe they were ever found.
No, never found.
And it was, they just disappeared off the face of the earth. None of the media would cover it. Mm. All very corrupt. And there is a documentary on Netflix that will probably explain it in much more detail.
And in a much better way as well.
But I just found Oaxaca incredibly interesting to learn about the country. But then also the markets.
Yeah, yeah.
The streets.
Yeah. Well, the streets.
Everything was colourful. Well, the colourful, I loved it.
Yeah, the colourful streets were kind of a recent addition. And as you say, the foods at the markets. I'd say my only regret about Oaxaca was maybe...
Not staying longer.
Yeah, exactly. I think maybe in hindsight, we could have knocked off a day or two in Puerto Escondido and had maybe another day or two in Oaxaca. But we didn't know that at the time.
No, I think at that point, we were kind of, we rushed it a bit. Remember we got to Oaxaca and we were like, we literally have 2 days here.
Yeah,
and we
shame.
Extended it out for like an extra day. But in hindsight, and hindsight's a great thing, I would stay in Oaxaca for minimum a week.
I don't know about minimum a week.
I think
maybe 5 days. The only things that we perhaps didn't do, which again, was it down to budget? Possibly, because at that point we were still sort of, I was still being quite anal with that, right, this is kind of
what
where
we
need
spending.
To be. Because I'd have loved to have done like a proper food tour and gone on a mole tasting tour.
Yes.
And also done, Mezcal is Mexico's number one spirit. Everyone thinks it's tequila, but actually it's Mezcal. And tequila is a kind of Mezcal. And I think actually the only Mezcal that we had was on that tour, or sorry, the only Mezcal tour we had was on that bigger tour where we went to the waterfall and everything else like that. It wasn't like a proper Mezcal tour like we did in Guadalajara and Tequila, where we actually went to a couple of tequila distilleries. So I actually would have loved to have done a proper food tour and also a proper Mezcal tour when we were there.
I thought the Mezcal tour we did was pretty good as part of the day thing.
Yeah, but it was very much kind of bus loads of tourists.
Yeah.
As opposed to something that was a little bit more authentic. Rough and ready and authentic. They kind of just shoehorned everything in there to sort of go, oh, there's
Let's
a waterfall.
Make it easy.
What else can we do? We'll put this in.
Yeah, do you remember how cold I was? My lips went blue.
Freezing.
And
You're
one
freezing.
Of the girls thought I was wearing blue lipstick. It was really, I wasn't expecting the drop in temperature.
No. But overall, as you say, Oaxaca, really, really, really good. I know we mentioned it within this episode as well, but I think that was, I agree with you that looking back,
looking back,
that it was probably one of the more fun couple of trips that we that we did?
It felt quite light and fluffy around Oaxaca. You know, I think it did help that, like, it's such a colourful city and there were so many, like when we were there, there was even day festivals where people are all dressed up.
Oh, yeah, that was going on, wasn't it? With the people with almost, like, the massive papier-mâché.
The big heads.
That was bizarre.
I love that about Mexico. Like, you'll arrive at a place and you won't know that it might be just some random holiday because they celebrate everything in Mexico.
It's mad.
Like, they could really learn from that in the UK, couldn't they? Like, we, honestly, everything has to be so well organised over here. Whereas in Mexico, it's like,
papier-mâché. Yeah.
Let's get creative.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I suppose you go to little villages within, the villages and towns within the UK, and there's all sorts of little nonsense that goes on. But from a, yeah, I suppose.
Do you remember as well from this episode? Well, there's two things. You'll have to remind me of the name of the...
Oh, that song. What's her name?
Because I might insert it.
Lila Downs. The song is Mezcalita.
Mezcalita. If I have time, if we have time left in this episode, I'm going to throw that song in because that was a tune. But also, remember our rug experience.
Jesus Christ.
Lovely Axel. We visited their textile, what would you call it?
Shop.
And they had this old school way of making carpets. They got all the wool from the local sheep. They used the colouring from local plants.
And bugs.
Flowers, everything, bugs. And we watched them, how they handcraft carpets. And I was so blown away by this and forced me and Ali to buy a rug.
For like 150 quid or something.
Which wasn't
again,
cheap.
I think we talked about this earlier on. But 150 quid. And
wasn't
cheap, still,
but it's still there.
It's still pride in place in our bedroom.
I see it, I go, that reminds me of my trip.
Remember the good
to
times.
Oaxaca.
Remember of good times. Whereas, that's a lovely thing to remind us of Oaxaca. Was, yeah, Puerto Escondido, going down that way, it was fine. I just don't think it was our kind of vibes. And although there was a really nice sort of beach there, we didn't really go and chill on the beach because the waves were absolutely aggressive and we weren't surfers.
Gosh.
And they said to people, like, don't go and swim. So we kind of were walking along the beach from where we were staying to where the cool end was, which was a good old 45, 50-minute walk. And then as you'd walk past, you'd see some people swimming. Obviously, there's no lifeguards around. And you'd see some people swimming, but there's a load of red flags there sort of going, don't fucking swim here. And people were. And you're sort of walking past them going, I'm probably never going to see you again.
I suppose most people ignore red flags all the time.
Well, they do. But there was, I kind of feel that Oaxaca was that more authentic. Puerto Escondido was isn't it cool to go to, which... I suppose it sort of was, but it's not my vibe.
I thought it was needed because we'd done a lot of city trips in between Puerto Vallarta and Sayulita, and then we went back to the city. I think when you're going around Mexico, especially when it's very hot, it's nice to have a break by the sea. And we did use that week really to reset.
Yeah. But overall, I say two good places, very happy to have gone. And
peaks, pits, regrets?
Regrets of not staying in Oaxaca another few days. I think that would have been better.
Yeah.
Peaks, I just think going and just enjoying a bit more of Oaxaca. It was so different to Mexico City, so different to Guadalajara. So that was a real peak for me to go to. And I think Pitts was probably just getting sunburnt to buggery in Puerto Escondido. And so, yeah, I just feel the peaks Oaxaca, the pits Puerto Escondido, and then wish we could have had more time in Oaxaca than Puerto.
I actually really enjoyed both. My only pit was that one restaurant we went to, La Sala de Mer, where your man was
drinking petrol.
And
that was quite funny.
And the food, I've never had fish tacos like it. Like, I mean, I don't know if it was fish.
Yeah, it was a bit dodgy.
And I still think about that. That lives rent free in my head.
Does it now?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
All in all, an amazing week was had in Oaxaca between Oaxaca City and Puerto Escondido. Would I recommend to a friend? Absolutely. Fabulous place altogether. Actually wish I was there now as I look outside my grim view of a dark cloud. On next month's episode, we are in San Cristobal, which is a really interesting part of Mexico. It's separated from the state, so they kind of have their own rules and... Yeah, a really interesting place, I have to say. It's kind of governed by the people of San Cristobal. So a very interesting week. Ali had chronic food poisoning at this point, and the temperatures dropped about 15 degrees because we were further up. So make sure to tune into next month. If you've been enjoying our journey so far, check us out at Pack It Up, Pack It In Pod on Instagram. If you've any questions, drop us an email, packitinpod@gmail.com. Also, you're in luck. We've got 5 minutes to spare. So I'm going to leave this episode on a mezcal note. This is Mezcalita by Lily Downs. And this was the song of Oaxaca for us. I hope you enjoy it. It's an absolute tune.
Brinda con el pensamiento, gotita lluvia de calor. Mi culpa, Dovigi, es por mi culpa, Señor. Bebí de tu memoria, aroma, tierra, agave y sol. Yo soy la que le gusta este castigo mejor. Gota, gota, gotita de mezcal. Gota, 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 gotita de mezcal. Gota, 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 gotita de mezcal. Gota, 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 gotita de mezcal. Dicen que tomando pierdes la cabeza y el dinero. Dicen que tomando pierdes la cabeza y el dinero. Pero a mí me crece el pecho con ese mezcal del bueno. Pero a mí me crece el pecho con ese mezcal del bueno.
Como toca la barrica, beso cielo de Oaxaca. Como toca la barrica, beso cielo de Oaxaca.
Como pinta el mezcalito, gusanito de tu boca.
Como pinta el mezcalito, gusanito de tu boca. Cantaba, lloró, tanto mezcal, tanto llorar, tanto tomar. Cantaba, lloró, tanto mezcal, tanto llorar, tanto tomar. De pechuga mezcalito, mezcalito de maguey, pa' tomar mezcalito para tu bien también. De pechuga mezcalito, mezcalito de maguey, pa' todo mal mezcalito para tu bien también.
De ese maguey, su espina me está matando. La penca de ese maguey, su espina me está matando.
Acércate, chaparrín,
que esta lumbre está quemando.
Acércate, chaparrín,
que esta lumbre está quemando.
Barrica del palo santo del gusano de espadín. Barrica del palo santo del gusano de espadín.
Son añejas tus gotitas del sabor que yo viví.
Son añejas tus gotitas del sabor que yo viví. Cantaba, lloró, tanto mezcal, tanto llorar, tanto tomar. Cantaba, lloró, tanto mezcal, tanto llorar, tanto tomar. De pechuga mezcalito, mezcalito de maguey, pa' todo mal mezcalito, para todo bien también. De pechuga mezcalito, mezcalito de maguey, todo mal mezcalito para todo bien también. Cantaba, lloró, tanto mezcal, tanto llorar, tanto tomar. Cantaba, lloró, tanto mezcal, tanto llorar, tanto tomar. Cantaba, lloró, tanto mezcal, tanto llorar, tanto tomar. Cantaba, lloró, tanto mezcal, tanto llorar, tanto tomar.
Gota, 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 gotita de mezcal. Gota, 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 gotita de mezcal.
Gota, 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 gotita de mezcal. Gota, 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 gotita de mezcal. gota, gotita de mezcal, gota, 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 gotita de mezcal.